our Lord and our King. Over this gathering, we proclaim, we declare, and we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, that He is not in the grave, that He is risen, that He is alive, and He is alive forevermore. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we, your people, will know of that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power that was at work in the life of Jesus will also be at work in our life in the name of Jesus. That power that quickens, that power that sets free, that power that liberates, that power that glorifies will be at work in our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, my prayer is that this will not just be a ritual, O God, just one of those exercises that we do every year, Father, but the true meaning of your death, of your crucifixion, of your suffering, of your resurrection will be known in our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take your seats. You know, interestingly enough, Pastor Brian mentioned something about praying that people will be healed today, and I tell you something, obviously healing of my own. I woke up this morning and I was having a spitting headache. And when I woke up, I just laid my hands on my head and I said, you know what, return to sender. That was it. Yeah, I just said, return to sender. This headache is not for me. Wherever you've come from, go back there. And you know what, God did it. You see, people of God, let me encourage you one thing. You see, the power that is at work in the life of Jesus is at work in our lives. And we need to understand that you yourself, as a child of God, you can command and you can speak to principalities and powers and they be silenced. Let me encourage you, this is not just for a reserved set of people. This is not just for a church. You see, we are the chosen ones and therefore it is for all of us. Sometimes we are not aware of the power that is resident in us. The Apostle Paul said, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. Do you know that there's power working you?
Yes.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Are you sure about it?
Yes.
Some of you are looking a bit confused and people are like, what on earth is he talking about? Do you know that there's power at work in you?
Yes.
The power that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power is also at work in your life and my life. And God therefore calls us as his people to use that power. Because what good is power if you don't use it? What good is what you have if you don't use it? When God was speaking to Moses when they were about to cross the Red Sea, God said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Use that rod that I've given you. That rod had power in it. Remember, this was the rod that Moses threw down and it became a serpent. This is the rod that Moses put into the sea and frogs started coming out. God told Moses to use what he had given him. People, there comes a time in our lives and we need to understand one thing. We need to use what God has given us.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbors, tell them, use what God has given you. Tell them again, tell them, look. Look them in the eye very well. Eye them, tell them, look, use what God has given you. God has given you power, use it. It's all to the praise and glory of his name, amen? So God is good. God is at work in this place. God is doing great and awesome things in this place. And I want to say this, whether you are a visitor here or you're a regular or whether you just popped in for an Easter Sunday or a rest Sunday service, it doesn't matter. My prayer is that you be blessed this day. That God will speak to you. That God will reveal himself to you in his power and in his glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning or this afternoon, it's already 12:30. I suppose, yes, I am going to speak on an Easter message, if that's the right phrase to use. But I was thinking of something, and I actually mentioned this. I alluded to this even on Friday when I was breaking bread. And really, that's a note of caution to us. You see, we have to be very careful that if we don't understand what we're doing, it just becomes a ritual. It just becomes something that we do year in, year out. Oh, you know, it's Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, you know, therefore we come to church. Oh, it's Good Friday, we're just coming to church. And there's a danger, if we don't understand what we're doing, that it loses its meaning. It loses its significance. Why do we do it? I was listening to the radio, or was it the TV, and there was some commentator, some other person talking about Easter. And of course, out there in the world, it's just a nice celebration. They talk about Easter eggs and the bunny, chocolate bunnies or whatever it's called and all that, you know. I'm not saying there's anything wrong giving Easter eggs, but the problem at times is this. That is what, for a lot of people, Easter has been relegated to. It's been so commercialized, so overhyped, that all they think about is they're just looking forward to Easter eggs. Come on, people, there's more to Easter than Easter eggs. And therefore, people, let me encourage you, it's very important that we understand what we are celebrating. It's very important that we understand what we're singing. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph on his foes. It's important that we understand, and the true meaning, therefore, what we're saying becomes significant in our lives. This day, I want to speak to us on a message titled, Benefits of the Resurrection of Christ. And what I want to do, you know, I thank God for my wife. By the way, she looks at my sermon notes, okay? I pass them through her. She approves them for me. And one thing she said to me is this. Yeah, it's all well and good, your notes, but make sure that you can apply to people's lives. That is so true. So true. As she always tells me that, remember, it's the application. Thank God for my wife. Amen. Praise God for her. She always tells me that, remember, it's the application. You can have a good message. If you can't apply it, it's no good. So this morning, I want to speak on the benefits of the resurrection of Christ and how that applies to our lives, how important that is to us. Turn your Bibles, please, with me. I believe it's up there to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to read it from verse 12 to verse 19. And then two verses from Peter. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 12 to 19. Are we there?
Yeah.
Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. 1 Peter 1 verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you.
Amen.
The benefits of the resurrection of Christ. You see, what happened? The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are truths that can never be lost, that will be proclaimed and spoken about even till we get to eternity. One interesting point about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is this. We preach a God. We preach of Jesus who died. Amen? Amen, yeah?
Amen.
We preach that Jesus died. But praise God, the story doesn't end there. We preach of him who died, and then of him who rose again, up from the grave he arose. You see, you look at all the religions of the world, and by the way, Christianity is not a religion, okay? Let's understand that. Religion is man's way of getting to know God. What we are doing, this is God's way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I was listening to something, even on the TV this morning, and there was someone who was debating, talking with someone else. And they were saying, yeah, you know, Christianity is not a religion. I said to them, because this is God's way. You see, all the other faiths, so-called faiths that we talk about, whether it's Islam or Buddhism, this is man's way of getting to know this powerful being, as they might call him, or this creator, or this spiritual being, or this God. They preach of a holy man or a holy person, whether it's Muhammad or Buddha or Krishna or whatever. They preach about this special famous person. But you know what? Which one of them tells you that their holy man rose again from the dead? Which of them tells you that their holy person is alive and somewhere else? What they tell you is that, yeah, this holy person, this special person, they did all these wonderful nice things. They're dead and buried in the grave or wherever they are. But we don't preach a Christ who is still in the grave. Remember what was said, he is not here. He is risen. We preach of Christ who died and who rose again. And people, that is what sets us apart from all the other so-called religions or faiths in the world. Because we preach of Christ who rose, who rose in power and who is alive forevermore. You know what? Isn't even that, just even that enough to want to make us to serve and follow him? The fact that we're not worshipping a God who is in the grave. The fact that we're not worshipping a God whose body has rotted away. But we're serving one who is alive forever and ever. Isn't even just even that enough to want to make us to serve and to follow this God? That this sets us apart from all the others. However, people of God, we therefore know that the story of the death and the life of Jesus Christ is not complete without his resurrection. Because the passage we read tells us that if the dead are not raised, Christ is not raised. And if only in this world, which is what would happen if Christ was not raised, if only in this world we have hope in Christ, it says we are the most pitiable, the most miserable of men. You see, if Christ did not rise from the dead, there is no difference between us and all the other faiths out there. If Christ is not risen, if he is not alive and alive forevermore, there's no difference between us and all the other beliefs out there. None whatsoever. Because they would say their holy man was alive and died. And then now we're saying Jesus Christ was alive and died. And that is it. There'll be no difference. But the resurrection is one bold, powerful truth that stands out, that makes us understand that there's a difference out there between what God gives us and what the world tells us out there. You know, the word resurrection, it comes from a word that simply means to rise again from the dead. That's really simply what resurrection means. It means to rise from the dead. It speaks about something or someone that was dead. So let's understand this. Jesus died. Amen? He didn't just go and have a long sleep for 3 days. Jesus died. It tells us there on the account that when he was crucified, he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, and he died. He was then buried. He was in a tomb. He was buried. Jesus died. Resurrection is the raising up from the dead of something. So when we say Jesus resurrected, yes, he came from the dead, and he rose up. We can look at this in the scripture. Remember the account of Lazarus? You remember that? Lazarus died. And then Jesus went over there. He was buried. He was in the tomb. Jesus got there. And then he said to them, take away the stone. There was a stone that was blocking the tomb. And they said, there'll be a foul smell. Because he's been dead for 3-4 days. Mary or Martha said, Lord, I know that he will rise again in the last days. And Jesus made that profound statement, I am the resurrection and the life. One of the bold I am statements of Jesus in the book of John. I am the resurrection and the life. And what we see is that Jesus then cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth. He came out. You see, resurrection also implies, people of God, a change of state. From death to life. Amen?
and also to from being, if you like, sleeping in the grave, from being down to rising up. There is a change of state. There is a change of position. You know, Lazarus could not have stayed in the grave when he rose. Jesus could not have stayed in the grave when he rose. There had to be a change of position. He had to move from where he was to another place so that all could see him. When Lazarus rose, everyone saw him. Those around him saw him. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to so many people over so many days. People knew without a doubt this person had risen. There was irrefutable proof, evidence that Jesus had risen, that Lazarus had risen. People, when someone resurrects, there is a change of states. There is a change of position. There is a change of purpose. There is a change of function of what happens. The question we ask ourselves, really, and I'm going to come to this later on, is how does all this apply to ourselves? Because resurrection is one of those concepts that people perhaps struggle to understand. But I tell you one thing, people of God, whatever Jesus did, he did it for our benefits. And therefore, the question we ask ourselves is, how does this apply to us? And I want to look, therefore, briefly at a number of reasons why Jesus rose and how this applies to us. And to encourage us, therefore, people of God, to believe the resurrection story, but also to know how this applies in our lives and in our circumstances. In Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says this of Jesus. He was delivered because of our offenses, and he was raised because of our justification. Remember I said resurrection means rising up. He was raised for our justification. Justification means this, that you have a right standing before God. Amen? See, you stand before God. I stand before God, pure and holy and righteous, not because of what I have done. In fact, Paul mentioned there in one of his epistles, he said, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes by the law, but a righteousness that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why it is not by works that we are saved. We are saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He rose for our justification. He rose why? You see, if Jesus had not risen, how could we therefore stand before God pure and holy, without our sin, without blemish, when the one whom God sent would still be in the grave? The fact that Jesus rose, and therefore we too will rise in newness of life like him, means that we can stand before God with our sins washed away, without an evil conscience. We can stand before him pure and holy because of the work of what Jesus had done. Amen. So people, one benefit that we have of the resurrection of Christ is that we are now standing justified before God. Amen. In Peter, another thing that he lists there is this. Going back to Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I alluded to this earlier on. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The power that was at work in Jesus is at work in your life. Honestly, people, I cannot say that strongly or more powerfully enough. The power that is at work in Jesus is at work in your life. And therefore, it tells me that though principalities and powers will try, they will not prevail. Death could not hold him captive. Listen, the principalities and powers, they tried to hold Jesus captive. Understand that, people of God. They tried to hold him captive. They tried to discourage him. Remember one thing. Jesus was tempted just like we were. And the word of God tells us that anyway. He was tempted in all ways like we were, yet without sin. So understand one thing, that the struggles that we face, the battles that we face at times in our lives, Jesus also faced them. But one thing about him was he overcame. He is an overcomer. And he proved that, therefore, by even rising from the dead, that he is an overcomer. And people, if that power, therefore, is at work in us, that tells me that because Jesus overcame, so too will I. That tells me that because Jesus was victorious, I too am victorious. That tells me that because Jesus made, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, he finished it, he went to the end. And it tells me, therefore, because Jesus did it, I too will make it in his name. That is the confidence we have, people, because of the cross, because of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So his power is at work in our lives, is at work in your life and my life. And we need to understand that. Another reason why Jesus rose is to give us hope. In the book of Peter there, he calls it a living hope. Have you ever thought, and people sometimes ask this question, what are you here on earth for? What's your purpose here on earth? Is it just wake up in the morning, go to work, pay the mortgage, have kids, grow old, retire, die? Is that it? Is that our purpose? And then that's the end of it? And people talk about, oh, there's no such thing as the afterlife, or maybe I'll come back in the afterlife as another person, or as some sort of animal, or whatever, I don't know. All sorts of crazy things that people say. Have you ever thought, what's your purpose here in life? Have you ever thought, what happens when this life is over? When Pastor Brian spoke about, you know, what's going to happen today? Will the trumpet call sound today? Will it sound in the next 5 minutes? If it does, what's going to happen to you? If it does, where are you going? This morning I was listening to the news. It's funny because it's funny because I don't normally listen to the news on Sundays, actually. You know, I'm too busy, you know, sorting out the kids or getting dressed or what have you. But I turned on the news and there were those bombs in Sri Lanka that a number of churches, people went for their Easter Sunday service. And there are a number of bombs that went up. I think it's about 130, 150 people were killed. And I'm thinking, people are going to church to serve God, to worship God. And there they meet their death. And you think, it makes you think, it makes you wonder what's going to happen. You know, listen, let me not say this to scare you. I know Pastor Brian says, we're not trying to scare you. Yeah, none of us knows how we're going to die or when we're going to die. Yes, we all pray, and don't get me wrong, and of course we should. We all pray that we live long and we live well. You die at an old, ripe age. Amen to that. The truth is, none of us know when we're going to die. That is a fact. But the point is this. Are you ready? If the time was to come right now, are you ready? Christ came to give us a living hope, a hope that no matter when the time comes, no matter when the trumpet call is made, we know where we're going. We have a hope. It is anchored in him. It is safe and secure in him. And that is why he rose from the dead. To tell us, look, though we may die, though this mortal body may go, there is a hope waiting for us that we will rise up and we will be with him forever and ever and ever. And the resurrection proves that, people of God. It proves it without a shadow of a doubt. We know where we're going. You should know where you're going. You say, well, how can I know? Well, Christ gives you that assurance. Listen, I can't give it to you, okay? I can't give it to you. Only Christ can give you that assurance, that confidence inside you, that you know where you're going when the trumpet sound is made. Amen. And Christ comes to tell us, he tells us in his word, that just as he rose from the dead, this is part of love, just as he rose from the dead, so too will we. Amen? Amen. Just as he conquered death, so too will we. I like what the preacher was saying, Pastor Morty was saying on Friday during our Good Friday service. You know, God created death dead. I found that quite interesting. Yes. He created death dead. It was our sin that gave it the power. But there will come a time when death will have no power over us. When death will not be able to hold us captive. When death, yes, will die.
Amen.
When death will die. And Christ gives us that hope. He gives us that confidence that, yes, that day is coming. So people, one thing, never ever let go of your hope. You see, if there's no resurrection, there's no new birth. If there's no new birth, there's no hope. So if there's no resurrection, there's no hope. And that is why our hope is in that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only thing, we sing that song, knowing my hope is built on nothing less.
than Jesus' blood of righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Because he did it, so too will you and I. Because that power is at work in him, so too it will be at work in us. Hallelujah. So he came to give us hope. Another thing why Jesus rose is to show the power of God. The power of God, amen? To show, to prove to everyone that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, let me say this, there's absolutely nothing greater than the power of God. We sang he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee. And listen, every means.
Every.
Come on, help me out here. Every means.
Every
knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that what?
Jesus is Lord.
It's Lord, that means he has dominion, he has authority over everything. There is nothing that is not subject to him. Everything is subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is subject to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they want to or not, whether they like it or not, it makes no difference. They are subject to the power of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why every knee shall bow. And that is why we speak to principalities, we speak to power, we speak to forces that want to run contrary to the will of God. And we speak and we tell them to be silent at the mention of the name of Jesus. And why did Jesus get that authority? Because he went into death, into Hades, and he rose up. He rose up in power. Therefore, he has every right to command principalities and powers to be silent. Jesus rose to show the power of God, to reveal the power of God, and therefore for that power to be at work in the life of each and every one of us. You see, as believers, God is calling us to be people of power. God is not calling us to be people who are scared of the enemy. There is a, I think it was, I was something I read, something I heard, that even the prayer of even the weakest saints causes the enemy to tremble. The prayer of even the weakest saints causes the enemy to tremble. Why? Because of the power that is in that prayer. Because of the power we have. It's amazing how perhaps principalities and powers, if you like, know more about the power of Jesus than we do. When you read the accounts of Acts, when Paul was going around, wasn't there a young girl with a demon who was saying, these ones are servants of the Most High God. They knew the power that was, if you like, resident in the life of the Apostle Paul at that time. Yet people around there did not even know. Some of the people were not even aware of the power which they carry. People, we need to understand one thing, that the power that we carry is enormous, is tremendous, and we need therefore to use it.
Yes.
Christ rose that we will know of that power, that we can say, look, just as he used that power was at work in him when he rose, may that power also be at work in my life and your life.
Yeah.
But the resurrection was what caused us to know of that power. So people, my prayer therefore is this, that we will know of the power of God at work in our lives. And say, Lord, just as Jesus rose from the dead in that power, let that power, Lord, also be at work in my life, moving in my situation, in my circumstances. Paul prayed this prayer, didn't he, in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. I find that prayer very interesting, very astounding. That how can this Apostle Paul, who God revealed so much to him, all the miracles he did, all the revelation he still had the humility to say that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. May we be a people who know the power of the resurrected Christ.
May we be a people who rejoice and know that, look, God is still at work in our life, and he wants to do great, awesome, and wonderful things in the lives of each and every one of us. Another benefit, and I'm going to end very soon, of Christ's resurrection is this. It guarantees our future inheritance. It's an absolute guarantee, people of God, that we're going to heaven. These days, people give you guarantees. And sometimes the guarantees aren't worth it. I bought a phone the other day. It came with a 12-month guarantee or warranty, whatever they call it these days. The battery went flat and the phone stopped working. I'm going to take it back to the manufacturer. They give you a guarantee. The guarantee at times isn't even worth it. It still breaks down, still messes up. God gives us all the guarantee of something. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. What he says he will do, that is what he will do. And he has therefore given us a guarantee, of course, people, of our eternal salvation, of our destiny, that we are going to live and reign with him forever and ever. And his resurrection proves that. Why? Because when Jesus rose from the dead, where did he go? It tells us that he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he lives there forever, making intercession for us. And he said to his disciples, where I go, there too you also will go. So if he ascended to heaven, people of God, then that too is where we are going, amen? So we have an absolute guarantee of where we are going. And him rising from the dead gives us that guarantee, people. We can be sure. Is there anyone here who's doubting what's going on in their lives? What will happen to me today? Why did Christ die for me? What benefit does it have in my life? Why should I live for this God or serve him forever and ever? It's because in him you will have your peace, you will have your security, you will have your eternal destiny all sorted out. Does that mean that you won't have struggles in this life? No, I'm not saying that. Does that mean at times that there won't be winds and waves blowing? No, I'm not saying that there won't be. But what I'm saying is this. In Christ, there's always a way out. In Christ, you know, you haven't come to the end. In Christ, we will make it to the end. Amen? Amen. There's a verse I've used it several times, and I'll say it again. If anyone draws back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But I always like how that verse ends. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in his death and his resurrection. We believe he died, he rose again. And we believe that we are going to live and reign with him forever and ever. Amen. And this afternoon, let's rise to our feet, please. This afternoon, if you don't know about your eternal destiny, if you're wondering, well, what's going to happen to me today or tomorrow? If you're wondering, I don't know why Jesus died. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. You know what? God wants to speak and minister to your hearts. God, I believe, wants to touch your life. With our heads bowed, please. I want you just to take time just to think and contemplate about that. Perhaps this morning you're wondering, why did Christ die for me? How can I be saved? The life I've lived, the stuff I've done, how can God love me and save me and set me free and what have you? Listen, his power that is at work, his power that is available is also available to you. This morning, this afternoon rather, if you know you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't know him, where you are, please just kindly raise your hands. Just raise your hands, please, clearly, if that's you. If you want to be in a relationship with this mighty God. If you believe now that God died for you, he sent his son to suffer for you. And you want him to give you that hope, that assurance of your life, of your future, of your destiny. Just raise your hands where you are. Hallelujah. One hand up, two hands up, I can see. Is there anyone else? I can see two hands up. Anyone else?
Let's not prolong this, people of God. Let's understand what God is doing in our lives. Can I do one thing, please? Those of you with your hands raised, please just kind of come to the front. Please don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. No one is coming to show you up. No one is coming to make fun of you. Please, you have your hand raised, just come to the front. You want to know the Lord Jesus Christ now as your Lord and Savior. What a wonderful day to even commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. A day when we remember and we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. Please don't be shy. If someone wants to come along with them, please let someone come along with them. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Please just come to the front. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? There's joy in my heart right now, people of God. There's joy in my heart. Why? Because the Bible says that there's more joy in heaven over one.